On Midwest Week, trying to assess the damage done by the coronavirus at meatpacking plants in Iowa and neighboring states. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Sydney Sison, reporter for the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. Recently, Sydney, you helped write a series of stories called Life on the Line, and what prompted you to do that?
What prompted me to initially do this story, which really served as a reflection on the past year of the pandemic at meatpacking plants throughout Iowa, was that we had written so many stories along the way of infections that had happened, deaths that had happened, and measures that the company had taken to try to ensure the safety of their workers. So a year after COVID in March, we decided that we wanted to do a piece that would kind of summarize everything that had happened so far at the Waterloo plant here in our coverage area, and also at other plants across the state of Iowa, and how workers had fared throughout that process.
And who participated in the series with you?
I worked with reporter Tom Lowy from the Quad City Times and also Dolly Booth from the Sioux City Journal. And so they provided some information about the plants that were in their coverage areas, and then I mostly focused on the Waterloo plant.
Okay, now most of us have heard and read about Tyson through all these months and the last year or so, but there were several other companies involved as well.
So not only did the story focus on Tyson, though Tyson did have a high amount of infections and some deaths related to their plants, but we also focused on some other meatpacking plants in Iowa, because the reality is that meatpacking plants across the state all did prove to be a pretty susceptible environment to COVID-19 spreading. So other plants, including Smithfield, Seaboard Triumph Foods, the beef plant in Tama, all of those plants also experienced some of the same challenges that Tyson experienced. A lot of these workers are working elbow to elbow on production lines and doing really repetitive work. And so all of them were tasked with really looking at how they could implement some measures that would protect workers and give them the distance that they need to stay safe. So, for example, at the Seaboard Triumph Foods plant in Sioux City, workers there had complained about inadequate protections and began getting infected with COVID-19. And at the Smithfield meatpacking plant in Denison, there were more than 100 workers there that had contracted COVID-19 by May of last year. And in Tama at the Iowa Premium Beef plant, nearly 40% of the 850 workers there had contracted COVID-19, which led the company to suspend its production temporarily in April. Which was something that also happened at the Waterloo Tyson plant as well. So this is something that all meatpacking companies were grappling with, not just Tyson. And so our story walks through the infections at all meatpacking plants that ended up getting a lot of attention by members of the community.
Now, last spring, it seemed like the companies were slow to respond to the pandemic. Is that fair?
I think a lot of people have criticized Tyson and other meatpacking companies for not taking quick enough action to prevent their workers from getting COVID-19. I do think that to some extent that statement is fair, given that Tyson Foods, for example, is an international company. Some people have alleged that the company should have known back in January, for example, that COVID-19 was spreading rapidly in other countries. And so some people believe that Tyson should have taken more proactive action in planning for COVID-19, putting mitigation efforts in place before they were widely put in place at other workplaces. And they feel that Tyson was mostly responsive to COVID-19 infections and didn't do much on the front end to prevent them in the spring of 2020. But at the same time, Tyson joined a lot of other meatpacking companies, like I had mentioned, in really having to brainstorm what they could do when their work environment was already so focused on people working close together. So they did kind of fall in line with other companies that had been addressing this in the spring and had to put in place some protections after their workers started getting infected with COVID-19. So, for example, in the spring, some local officials here in Black Hawk County were calling on Tyson to temporarily shut its doors because of COVID-19 infections. But Tyson spokespeople have said that they were waiting to get results from COVID-19 tests that were done on their workers to understand the rate of infections. They had heard anecdotal stories about people possibly having infections, But the spokespeople there said that they were really waiting on the data to put in place some of those efforts that did end up being pretty costly. The company now has said that it's put more than $540 million into its U.S. facilities. So it is a pretty big investment to take those steps. And they've said that they were waiting on test results to take those steps. But I think there is some valid criticism from people whose family members or who themselves have been infected or the family members of people that have passed away who are rightfully upset that their family members were not protected.
But once they did respond, I mean, the companies did make some changes, as you mentioned. I mean, the plants were designed, as you said, to have a lot of people working closer together. How to redesign a plant while you're still producing would seem to be a rather monumental task.
And that's something that they had to grapple with as well. Obviously, they had to work with the layout that they had at their plant. They couldn't demolish and build a new facility that would lend itself better to social distancing, for example. And so the plant really had to get creative with the measures that it took to protect its workers. As I mentioned, the plant here in Waterloo did temporarily close down in April. On April 22nd is when the company announced that it would be closing its doors temporarily. And it took that time to clean the facility. They implemented some walkthrough temperature scanners. Workers were asked about possible COVID symptoms as they came in. They put up workstation dividers. They said that they had people monitoring social distancing. They were offering constant COVID-19 testing, even for workers who were asymptomatic, which they said actually consisted of most of the people that tested positive for COVID-19 at their plant. They said that they added pay and benefits for their workers. They hired more health services staff, which included a chief medical officer. And they said that they're planning to open a health clinic for their workers. And of course, most recently, they've been offering vaccination clinics for their workers, which is definitely a positive step to see. And they have offered up to 4 hours of regular pay for their workers to get vaccinated. And they're hoping that that will encourage widespread vaccination, even though it's not required among their workers.
And during all this time, Sydney, what about the state of Iowa? Did it get involved in all this in some way, trying to deal with the companies and protect the workers or anything like that?
I think a lot of people were hoping for some more accountability on Tyson's end, and they were hoping that the state would step in and take some of that action. Blackhawk County officials, about 20 of them, had joined together to write a letter to Governor Kim Reynolds in the spring when they were asking Tyson to close its doors. And they outlined their concerns about infections and about possible deaths that could happen from COVID-19. And Governor Kim Reynolds stuck by her position, which was that she was not going to order the Tyson plant in Waterloo to close. She said that she worried about the food supply chain being disrupted, and she worried that that possible disruption could outweigh the need to close the plant to protect workers. And so that was something that I think disappointed some local officials here in Blackhawk County. They wanted to see more action from the governor's office. And then actually Governor Kim Reynolds decided to support a bill that actually gives some protections to meatpacking companies during COVID-19. And it prevents some lawsuits and some liability that meatpacking companies can face from workers that were infected with COVID-19.
So 1 year later, what's the situation, Sydney? Has everything calmed down and back to normal again or not?
Obviously, there are some safety measures in place now that were not in place a year ago back in the spring when the outbreaks began. So I do think that there is a little more peace of mind among workers. I have not heard as many concerns from workers reaching out to me who feel like their lives are on the line in the same way that they were a year ago back in March and April. And of course, now vaccinations are happening. At least one third of the workers at the Waterloo plant and at the plant that makes pet products and independents have been vaccinated. So that's a good sign. And of course, the community is hoping that that can stop some infections at the plant. But of course, the environment of meatpacking plants can still lend itself to infection spreading. So we hope that meatpacking companies will learn from this, will implement safety measures in the future that can prevent anything like this from happening again. So I think there's still concern. There's still skepticism. Workers, of course, want to maintain their health and want to be safe. But I think that some of the safety measures that have been put in place will hopefully calm them and keep them safe as much as possible moving forward.